This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:33. The West Virginia Chamber of Commerce is focusing on energy, education, and elections at their annual business summit in White Sulphur Springs. But Ashton Mara reports the elections piece is taking a front seat. The chamber is hosting forums to allow candidates for congressional offices to debate at the Greenbrier.
One of these two candidates will be the first female U.S. senator from West Virginia.
Scott Rotruck of the law firm Spillman, Thomas & Battle served as moderator for the forum that had both Natalie Tennant and Shelley Moore Capito sitting on the same stage. Their opening statements touched on similar topics. Both were focused on energy, specifically the coal industry and the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed regulations on coal-fired power plants.
In West Virginia, we know that jobs start with energy, and we know that our energy jobs start with coal.
I have fought to stop the president's war on coal, and it is a war on coal. And our
both spoke of creating jobs, of strengthening education, and taking on the, quote, politics as usual in Washington. Rotruck asked candidates to define how they would defend coal, diversify the economy in West Virginia, and protect Medicare and Social Security should they win the Senate seat. Both spoke of reforming tax codes to help small businesses and protecting West Virginia's seniors. Capito says by restructuring their benefits, and Tennant says by voting to keep those benefits public. In an earlier session, Republican U.S. House hopeful Evan Jenkins was set to debate Democratic Congressman Nick Rahal, but the congressman didn't show. In a press release, his staff said Rahal was meeting with members of the Coalfield Expressway Authority in Mullins Thursday. Jenkins said after the forum, he was looking forward to debating the congressman, but was still glad he had the opportunity to share his views with the Chamber of Commerce members. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in White Sulphur Springs.
Another forum is set for later this morning at the Greenbrier during the final day of the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce's Business Summit. That forum will include Congressman David McKinley, Auditor Glenn Gaynor, Nick Casey, and Alex Mooney, all running for seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. And there are other contests going on this fall on the grid. Football season begins this weekend. The state's two Division I football programs kick off their seasons on the road tomorrow afternoon. Clark Davis has the story on West Virginia and Marshall's openers.
Both teams kick off at 3:30. Marshall is headed to Oxford, Ohio to take on the Miami University Redhawks. The Mountaineers have a slightly tougher challenge Saturday as they travel to Atlanta for a matchup with Alabama. The team ranked number 2 in both the USA Today and Associated Press preseason polls. WVU head coach Dana Holgerson knows it will be a challenge.
You know, when you think of an Alabama team, when you think of Coach Saban, it's going to be defense. Kirby Smart's been their DC for a long time, been with Nick for a long time. They do a great job of recruiting top-notch talent, big, fast, strong guys, some of the better players in the country each and every year.
Holgerson says the Crimson Tide have depth at the running back position that can easily score, as well as a tough offensive line that includes a newcomer.
Say they're starting a true freshman, and then I figured out he was the number one player in the country, and he was there all spring, so I don't really consider him much of a true freshman. You know, they got big people up front. They got an All-American tight end, three receivers that have played a lot of ball for him that can score.
Holgerson is referring to freshman left tackle Cam Robinson from Monroe, Louisiana. The matchup with Alabama also presents a unique challenge for Alabama coach Nick Saban. Saban is a native of Fairmont and grew up rooting for the Mountaineers.
When I was a kid, man, to go to Mountaineer Field to watch West Virginia play, that was like the highlight of, you know, my year. I mean, I still have great memories of home. I have great memories of the people and the relationships that I have at home, and, you know, I've always kind of been a Mountaineer fan.
While the Mountaineers are tussling with the Crimson Tide, Marshall will begin its most hyped season since the early 2000s with a trip to Miami of Ohio. Doc Holliday says because the Redhawks have a new coach in Chuck Martin, the former Notre Dame assistant, they're not sure what Miami's offense and defense will look like.
He's a heck of a football coach. He coached on the defensive side of the ball early on in Notre Dame, then became the offensive coordinator there. So, you know, he was at Grand Valley State and was a lot of different places. Again, very successful wherever he's been. So we don't know exactly what we're getting, but we went clear back to, you know, Grand Valley, clear back to Notre Dame. You know, we got prepared for a lot of different things.
The Herd has plenty of returning talent headed into the matchup, but will also mix in many freshmen who have showed in preseason camp they are ready to contribute.
You know, the one thing that that we do is we come up with a production chart. You know, at the receiver position, it's not how many snaps you play or how you grade out, it's how many plays you make. If you get the opportunity to make 20 plays and you make 18 of them, chances are, you know, you can kind of tell by that production chart who's made plays throughout fall camp and who's the most productive guy.
Senior tight end Eric Fronapple says he's been happy to see how excited Marshall fans are for the season.
I know I've just been, you know, just my phone has been boom, boom. I've gotten Facebook notifications and tweets about people that are already, they have countdown set. They're putting up these messages. So it's good to see that this turnout from the fans. You know, obviously, they're really excited. Hopefully, we can get travel a large crowd there. And I'm glad to see it. You know, it's that time of the year. The excitement's in the air, and I'm happy to see it.
WVU and Alabama will be televised on ABC Saturday at 3:30. Marshall's matchup with Miami University is on ESPN3 at 3:30 as well. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:39. Some fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Clouding up tonight with a chance of rain after midnight. Lows in the 50s and 60s. Partly sunny and hot Saturday. Highs in the 80s to near 90 degrees. A chance of rain or thunderstorms Saturday night. Cloudy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms through the Labor Day holiday. Daytime highs in the 70s and 80s with overnight lows in the 60s. Southwestern Pennsylvania's famous Frank Lloyd Wright home, Falling Water, will be featured in a new PBS program called 10 Homes That Changed America. The crew out of Chicago started production there last week. Glennis Board paid a visit.
So we're at Falling Water on something called The Bridge.
Dan Protess is the PBS program's producer.
This is really one of the most magnificent spots here at Falling Water. You kind of come up the falls, and there's this iconic shot looking up at the house perched above the falls. But then you cross the bridge right here, and suddenly the house is right there in front of you, dangling out into space over the falls.
He says when he and his crew arrived at Falling Water, it was like being introduced to a movie star.
We spend like weeks and weeks and weeks reading every single book we can get our hands on about Falling Water. And then you, having done all this research, you show up and it's like, wow, there it is.
Protest put together a panel of advisors from academia to help decide which homes would be featured on the show.
Part of our goal here is to start a conversation about architecture. We're not trying to be the final word.
Falling Water was a natural choice since Frank Lloyd Wright is one of America's most famous architects. The show's host, Jeffrey Baer, says when Wright built the house in 1937, he blew up certain ideas about modern architecture.
One of the tenets of modernism was that you could take a glass box and put it anywhere. It was universal architecture. And Frank Lloyd Wright utterly rejected this idea. You know, this house could not be anywhere but here.
Wright got the commission to design the 7,000 square foot estate from Edgar Kaufman, president of Kaufman's department store. The Pittsburgh businessman brought Wright to his rural retreat in southwestern Pennsylvania, pointing out the waterfall as his favorite feature. Show host Jeffrey Baer says Kaufman expected the house to have a good view of the falls.
Wright put the house on top of the waterfall. And he said that his reasoning was that if you just sat there and looked at the waterfall all day long, you'd get tired of it. You should be part of the waterfall.
Stone floors are waxed, so they look like the wet stream bed beneath the house. The walls are made from rock quarried from the area. Stairways bend and wrap around corners, and some lead right into a spring or terminate hovering above the stream bed. Wright called it organic architecture. He coined the phrase when he wrote these words in 1936.
So here I stand before you preaching organic architecture. declaring organic architecture to be the modern ideal and the teaching so much needed if we are to see the whole of life and to now serve the whole of life, holding no traditions essential to the great tradition.
The Kaufman family donated Falling Water to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy in 1963. The organization opened it to the public and has maintained it ever since. PBS program host Bear says there are good reasons why 4.5 million people have toured the home over the last 50 years.
It is earthed into this rock on the hillside and perilously projecting out over a waterfall. And everything about the house refers to the site when you're outside of it. And then when you go inside, you still feel like you're outside.
Andy says there's no escaping the sounds and smells of falling water.
Anywhere you are in the house, you can hear it. You can smell the forest and the wet stone and the wood. There's a full sensory experience in the house. It's pretty amazing.
Bear says it'll be a challenge to compress the story of the house into a 5-minute segment for their program. 10 Homes That Changed America is slated to be broadcast in 2016. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board at Falling Water.
The Steep Canyon Rangers are fresh off their Grammy Award collaboration with actor, comedian, and banjo player Steve Martin. Here they are with Tell the Ones I Love on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
It's the last train before they shut it down. It's the last line going that way. Last chance heading out of town. Thought I heard the driver say,
pack my bags in, all my things in, left them all behind. Red light flashing across that river bridge, and I'm heading down to Caroline.
Yeah.
the Steep Canyon Rangers with Tell the Ones I Love. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We welcome your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glynis Board, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, Sarah Lowther Hensley, and Liz McCormick. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.